Welcome to the Stonegate Women Podcast. This episode is from our Behold Become 2026 conference. We're so glad that you've joined to listen. Enjoy.
All right, everybody, we're going to get started. I am so glad that y'all are here this afternoon. I got to eat a turkey sandwich in a rocking chair and like bask in the sunshine like a lizard. So I hope that you also got to have a similar experience and enjoyed it. My name is Hannah Stovall, and I'll be leading our breakout this afternoon. I am on staff at the Paradox Church in Fort Worth, and I am our kids director in our church, and got here because I did Teach Equip with Kelly and Lindsay. And so I'm so glad to be here with y'all today and to be talking about being surprised by joy, a little bit of my story and my background. I grew up in at church all the time, pastor's family. And I loved that. And that has always been like really like beautiful and sweet to me that the Lord's like kept that to be true. I was a kid who would have rather had my birthday party in the fellowship hall than Chuck E. Cheese. Like, I just like really, really loved it. And my parents who loved the Lord and taught me the gospel every way that they knew how. One day I walked in the kitchen and I was like, I was watching the Donut Man video, like Christmas video, which is what it sounds like. It was a man who had a donut named Duncan the Donut, and they hosted kids in this like after school program. And the donut Duncan taught them one day that like all that God wants is your heart. And that's the best gift that you can give him. And he is the best gift that we can receive. And I was like, yes, I'm on board with that. And walked in the kitchen and was like, I believe in Jesus now. Like the donut really got to me. And now I'm like, belong to the Lord. And my mom was like, your dad is going to like lose it. Like that's the thing that did it for you. But I really believe that God pursues us each the way that we will receive him. And that for me was through a singing donut. And like, that's just very on brand. So you might not be surprised to find that your session of surprise by joy is being taught by someone who came to love the Lord through a donut and like has walked around today in like a quilt jacket, like bright colors, like works with kids. But what you are going to hear today is not just the like bright, colorful, cheerful singing donut aspects of joy. Joy is a thing that is cultivated in like practice and in discipline and is grown and like breaks out of really dark places that the Lord can have us sometimes. And very likely you came into this room not because you're already feeling that, but because you are hoping to feel it. And so I don't know what you're walking in here with, whether it is grief or hopelessness or just any kind of suffering or shame or fear or whatever that might be. But I do know that God meets us in each of those places, and he is better than we think he is going to be. And he is more fun than we expect for him to be. And he is just more generous. I think he's going to be more generous to you today than you thought that he could be. And so I've been praying that that is what you would experience. I'm about to pray for us again, that that is what you would feel as we spend time together today, and then we'll get started. So God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are the fullness of joy. You made a way for us to know that without you, without Christ, we were in a very dark and hopeless and joyless place. And that is not what you want us to live in. That is not the life that you chose for us or cleared a path for us to have. And so we pray that we would look ahead with eyes of hope today to see that you have like cleared everything out of the way for us to see what we thought we couldn't have and to hold what we thought was out of reach. And I pray that we would let you show us and prove to us today that you are better than we think that you are. Would you show us that you are delightful and that you want to be enjoyed? And so we love you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk first about what does it mean to you to be in the presence of God? You should have gotten a handout on your way in. If you didn't get one of those, we can shoot your hand up and we can bring you one. But the first text that you're going to see on there talks about the Westminster Catechism. Anybody familiar? Anybody a catechism girl in here? Okay. Yes. So for the rest of us, some context on that is that in the English Reformation, so we're going back to 1600s, 100 years before that, Martin Luther had nailed his theses on the door. Protestants are viewed as heretics. Different times. Okay. We fast forward 100 years. There are theologians and members of parliament who get together and say, we're going to reform the way that the Church of England is functioning. They got together with some people from the Church of Scotland and they had this revolutionary, reformative idea and baseline, we're basing everything on this, that the only true and worthy religions to participate in would be based in scripture. Praise God. So they set out to make the Westminster Catechism and shorter catechism, shockingly, if you can believe it, the shorter one is 107 questions. Seems like enough. And then there were more. But the shorter catechism, they listed out 107 questions that then they answered with scripture. And they said, this will be what we build faith on. You've been taught all of these ideas, they did away with the idea that a pope could just be in leadership over people and be I'm the new pope and here's all my ideas. It was, no, we're not doing that anymore. We're staying to this structure and framework for faith. And from there, then we're able to rebuild. They did a really beautiful and very helpful version of what we experience a lot now of people deconstructing and leaving things deconstructed. In the English Reformation, they took apart the framework that was broken and they built one that was solid. And so from there, then they were able to continue and have this flourishing, thriving church. In fact, the Church of Scotland still will give a new Bible to a child who's able to memorize and recount all 107 questions from the shorter catechism within a set amount of time. They give them a Bible. I'm also maybe if we did that the other way around, we wouldn't need the questions. I don't know, but it's okay. It's a chicken and the egg situation, and it's very, very useful for very many people. So the first question of that shorter catechism, though, is what is the chief end of man? What are we here for? What are we doing? And the answer to that is that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So if you're a blank filler inner, you're putting in those top lines of that, your sheet, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And I think that for many of us, part of that is very self-explanatory. We're so on board. We're so on board with the fact that our job is to glorify God, that everything that we do should point to him, that we should be living in a way, we should be obedient, we should be seeking him. The things that we do should reflect his character. We should be pointing back to the Lord always. The part though that I think we're less familiar with and less comfortable with is the enjoying of God. What does it mean to enjoy God? Do we even think that God is enjoyable? Or even if we think that he is that what we're experiencing right now? So we're going to get into all of that. But the first thing that I want us to do is I want you to consider this question of what is it like to be in the presence of God? So at the top of your page, you've got the little box. And in that box, I would love for you, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. And I want you to even close your eyes and picture when you consider what is it like to really sit in space, in a space with God, what would that look like?
like very specifically, what's the space like? Where is God within the space? What is his vibe? What's he feeling? How's he acting? What's his face? Where are you in the space? How do you feel? What are y'all doing? How are you interacting? Are you interacting? This is a very abstract meta activity for right after lunch. So I'm asking you to like lean into it with me a little bit, but just take a few minutes and think through that. And you can communicate that however works for you in that space. So you could draw it, you could write down some words or phrases, anything that works for you to communicate that. So I'm gonna let you do that and keep going if you're still working on that. But a few years ago, I had this moment with the Lord where I just felt like he led me to do what you just did. And I pictured myself being like in, as much as I can imagine what it would look like, the like throne room of the Lord. And it was, I think, very unlike the actual throne room of the Lord. It was very like sparse. But he was on his throne. And then he asked like, where are you in the room? And this is a practice that like I have like gone back to, and the Lord will bring me back to, because it changes over time. It changes depending on what I'm experiencing in the moment, how engaged I feel like I've been with the Lord, how engaged I think he is with me. And so there are times where I think, oh, I am like in the corner. I have like walked in and gone straight to the back corner, and I am like nose in the corner because I think that I'm in trouble. Or I am in the room and I've like inched closer, but like I'm still kind of, my face is like turned to the ground, right? Like I'm with you, I'm here in the room with you, but like I don't think that I can engage with you. And then there are other times, like praise the Lord, that I feel like I'm able to like walk in and I run all the way up and I'm like in his lap and I'm like right here and we are like so close. And other times where I'm in and I'm sitting with my face like turned to the ground and he comes and sits like crisscross applesauce right in front of me and like lifts my head to see him. And it is just so helpful to me to imagine like, where are we? Like in this space together, where are we? And to talk to different people and to ask what that experience is like for them is so helpful for me to understand what people are experiencing. So at the Paradox at my home church, I lead in a couple different ways. I'm the kids director. So I do a lot of like baptism counseling when kids are saying, parents are calling and saying, my child's ready to be baptized. And I'm like, okay, let's like sit and talk about this. Talk about where are we really? And I love to ask kids like, do you like talk to God? What do you feel like he's like when you talk to him? And the words that they say in response, if they have words to say in response, are really telling of what that interaction is like for them. Sometimes they'll say like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, we're going to wait and like find, we're going to experience him somehow and like have words to put to this. Or they'll tell me he feels really calm. And I'm like, you know him, or he's so like peaceful, or he makes me feel peaceful, or he's happy when I talk to him. I'm like, yes, like these are indicators that like you are encountering like the presence of God, you are seeing him. Another setting that I serve in our church is in our Redemption Groups ministry, which I think, I know that y'all have here. And so some of y'all may be familiar with that, but Redemption Groups is like Christian care and like biblical, like conversational counseling for any kind of sin and suffering. So people can be in Redemption Groups for any number of things that they just like want to engage with the Lord about. And I even just this past week asked a woman, like, what do you feel like when you meet with the Lord? If you were with him, what would it feel like? And she was like, I just feel like he's disappointed. And I feel like I have to be there and he's disappointed. I'm like, okay, like that tells me, that can tell us so much about like what we believe about the Lord, how we believe that he views us and like how we are interacting with him. So with that catechism, that truth of what's the chief end of man? To enjoy God and glorify him, right? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. What does it mean to enjoy him? Well, we're going to talk about like just the word enjoy. So some other ways to say that we're enjoying are to appreciate, to like, love, relish, to revel in, savor. Think about like really good chocolate where you just like let it melt, you know? My roommate chews all of her chocolate. And I'm like, what if we didn't? You know, like what if we just didn't do that? You just like let it like just, yeah, melt. Like it's supposed to. Thank you. You get it. To savor, to adore, dig. Like I dig that. Fancy, be fond of, be pleased by, to delight in, to drink in, eat up, flip over, freak out on, get a kick out of, have a ball, have fun, luxuriate in, take joy in, thrilled to do. So think about your box and how you described or drew encountering God's presence. Do you enjoy it? Like, are the words that you used similar to these? Or are they a little more like this, where it's like, to accept, to endure, bear, to humor, stomach, swallow, consent to, go along with, sit and take it, submit to, or tough it out? And if what you experience when you think of the presence of God, if this is more what you relate to, this is not guilt on you. This is a moment that we get to lean into to say, God, you said to enjoy. And me not enjoying is not necessarily being disobedient. Me not enjoying, maybe not knowing that you are enjoyable. But a really beautiful thing that I love about scripture and love about God is that God does not instruct us or expect us to do impossible things. What he says we will enjoy must be more enjoyable than we imagine. We don't get instructions in scripture that with the help of the Spirit, we can't follow. Like he would not do that to us. He doesn't trick us. He doesn't tease us. He doesn't set us up for failure. He sets us up for life that is abundant and that gives us an opportunity to worship and enjoy him. So if he says through so many times in scripture, right now we're talking about like a sentence that a room full of dudes a long time ago said, but we're going to look at scripture that like reinforces what that statement. It's where they came up with that statement. We're going to look at scripture. Scripture says that we're going to do this. It is possible. And so if we're feeling those tolerant words about God's presence, rather than those like thriving, flourishing, enjoyable ones, he is capable and he does want to change and transform that experience for you so that you can enjoy him. And I think actually like have a lot of fun with God, which can be like, what? But we're going to get there. So we're going to look at 1 John 1:1-4. It's going to be our main text that we're going to look at today. We're going to read through it. And then we're going to, if you will humor me, we're going to dig in and do a little like observation of the text and pick out and really focus in on like the main things that this passage is saying. So I'm going to read for us and then we'll get to digging. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So a lot of great words that sound good in here, but we want to find like the stuff. So what we're going to do first is that whole verse one. I like to think of that verse one as like when you're talking to a friend and you're like, so that place, you know, the place that was that color and had the thing and did the stuff and made us feel like that way. Yeah, that place. Like that's what we're doing in that first verse. So that I would like highlight that first section of that and be like, this is just like explanatory. This is just like background information to reinforce something that we haven't found yet. So that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at with our hands, which we've looked at and our hands have touched. It's just saying that thing, that like really great thing that we've seen and we've touched and we've heard about, like that's what we're talking about. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. So we're getting a little closer to what we're like really talking about. And then I circled that, this, and the life. Those are all the same. These are like antecedents to this like main thing, which is the life appeared. And then I went through and underlined all of the big verbs in this passage. So appeared, seen it, testified to it, proclaimed to you, appeared to us, proclaimed to you, seen and heard that you may have fellowship. I know that y'all are taught here in Bible study a lot about observing and annotating and digging in all of the things. So I think this is familiar to all of you. We can all nerd out on it a little bit together. But we're getting all of those verbs. What I look at and see here is like, oh, there's kind of a pattern with the verbs. So you've got seen it, testify to it, proclaim. And then proclaim, seen, and heard. And when I see the way that those are in a pattern in this text, that looks to me like this, which if you're familiar with this at all, this is called a chiasm. This is where we have words, texts, ideas within a scripture that repeat, but do it in a very specific pattern. So you've got that first main verb you've got in there is we've seen it, and then we testify to it, and then we proclaim. And then we proclaim, and then we go back to seen, and then we go to heard. So all of these things kind of work in this pattern that then point to something. Like a chiasm works in this like triangular way that then that triangle then points in a direction. So we want to go back now to our text to see if we've got a structure like that that's pointing to something, what are we pointing to? So we look in back in here. And we come to the end of all of those verbs that we were just looking at. And the very next phrase is so that. So this is our like, da, 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 da. This is what we're pointing to. Thankfully, John makes it very easy. He was a man of the people. He's like, we're not going to make this complicated or hard to find. I will just tell you what I want to tell you. And I will not make you guess about it. So that, and then it's two things. So you may have fellowship with us. And then he, again, at the end, very clearly says, we write this to make our joy complete. So all of these things are happening for two reasons. So that you can fellowship with us, the Father and the Son, and so that our joy may be complete. This is the way it's happening. This is the reason why it's happening. In those verbs, in that passage, I'm going back one first. I'm going back two. They see it and they testify to it. If we go back up and we're like, oh, let's get back into that like descriptor spot. It says, which we've seen with our eyes, we've looked at and our hands have touched. Okay. They are seeing, they're hearing, they're testifying to what they've experienced. And all of those things that they've experienced about Christ, about the gospel are sensory things, right? Experiencing God's presence is a sensory experience. It's not abstract. It's not out of reach. It's not just this like cerebral thing. It is actually things that you see and you touch and you hear and you taste and you feel. Touch and feel are the same thing. What's the other one? Smell. Thank you, Lord. And you smell. Yes, all the senses. I only taught elementary school for years. I should really know that. But we see them and we touch them. I think about like, when I think of this, I picture like those videos of the little sweet little babies who get their hearing aids for the first times and then hear their moms for the very first time. Yes. Like they cry, I cry, everyone cries. Or people who are colorblind and they get those glasses and then they like see the color of their kid's eyes, or they see that trees are green. Like their mind is blown because they're seeing something that they've never seen before. Okay. So when we see and we touch and we encounter these things, it is something that we are actually like living. Like our bodies that the Lord put us in to experience the world are also the bodies that he put us in to experience him. It's not just a brain that experiences him in a body that lives in the world. It's that we are a mind and a soul and a body that all together see and hear and touch and feel and smell the way that the Lord works. So I think about even in that, in like our redemption groups conversation we had earlier this week, this woman in that group shared that somewhat she'd like had this thought, or it had just been in her mind that she was really loving turquoise, like jewelry, just like loving it, and feeling very like unseen and uncared for by people in her life. And no one knew that she was like, I really kind of love, I'm into turquoise. This is new to me. I'd like to get some turquoise jewelry. And then a relative that she like takes care of and serves, just randomly one day when she stopped by to help him with like just a menial task, was like, come in here, I have something for you. And it was rings, and one of them was turquoise. And she was like, who knows that? Like the Lord knows that. Like he like met her, knew her, like saw her, heard her, cared for her, and like met her in this very tangible way that she then knew was like only the Lord. And I think about like what keeps us from enjoying God. Like those words we read at the beginning of like to have, like to just have a ball with, to like just dig him, you know, to just like really luxuriate and like revel in the presence of God. There were whole seasons of my life where I just felt, for whatever reason, like it was not cool or not serious enough or not an accurate view of God to like think that he cared about little things. And I would hear people say things like, oh, I like, you know, I got this parking spot and like, that was the Lord. And I'm like, whatever. He doesn't care about your parking spot. He doesn't care. Or like, oh, I just like prayed that I would be able to like find this outfit for this event. And I went and like the first place I looked, it was on sale. And I'm like, whatever. You're just like really good at shopping. That sounds more like an issue than like a blessing. I don't know. But things like that, like, and I would not say them because I know better. I grew up watching The Donut Man. I don't say things like that out loud. But inside, people would be saying these things and like giving credit to God for them. And I was like, whatever. Like, he is not that into you. He doesn't like care that much. He's like not that attentive to you. Park wherever, like be glad that you have a car and like a way to whatever. And I just feel like thankful. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit was like, what is your problem? Like what is so bad about like being grateful to the Lord. Like, what is so bad with believing that I would care about everything? And I think there is this like cultural celebration of cynicism and of even like a guardedness, right? I think some of us were so afraid because we've experienced times in the past where we feel like God has not provided or has not cared or has not been present with us. And so even if we even like acknowledge that maybe he does care a lot right now or is providing a lot right now, like what if he doesn't later? And so I don't want to like build myself up to think he's going to be with me if he's then like not going to be with me. Like we have all of these reasons, all of this like fear and shame and just pain, really, hurt and suffering and disappointment that we let lead the way rather than saying, I like actually want to like enjoy God. I want to see where he's present and where he's active and just go with him and follow him and like celebrate it. And for better or for worse, I have now turned into the person who's like, I got this parking spot because I am God's favorite. Like I just am. And the good thing about I posted an Instagram story one time and I said something about being God's favorite. Obviously kind of joking. But our discipleship pastor at our church replied and was like, it's giving like Joseph's dreams, you know, like it's giving like the Technicolor dream coat kind of vibes, Hannah. And I was like, ooh. And I literally walk around in like a Technicolor dream coat. So I was like, no, that's not what I mean. But the good thing is like, I also think that you are God's favorite. Like, I think that everybody should be so, so aware and so believing of the fact that God like enjoys you in his presence and like wants you to enjoy him, that like that's how he treats all of us, that you would be able to say anything good that I have because of the Lord. And so anything good that I experience, I'm going to credit to him. Like what do you lose by giving him credit for every good thing? I think you don't lose anything. I think actually to question where good is coming from is to set you up for this place, that place of cynicism, that place of like this hardened, unstable, insecure, uncertain space of wondering, like, does God want me here? Does God know that I'm here? Is God like engaging me here? Or am I just like getting passed over in his presence and he's like handing things to the next person? Like, I think he's like, I'm handing you everything you have. Like, I just want you to like know that that's happening. So when we see and we touch and we experience, we like ask the Lord to open up our, literally open up our attention to our senses as we move through life to say like, what am I like touching that is from you? What do I have today that I only have because you've given me? What am I like smelling that is like bringing me joy that you want me to have? What am I hearing that is like giving me just a moment to hear and to think of like, oh, that sounds like heaven, or that sounds like so joyful, or that sounds like something that like reminds me of like this blessing that I have. All of these things that we are physically experiencing can be just one like point after another that like redirects us to the Lord and lets us enjoy him. This is literally Psalm 34, like taste and see that the Lord is good. Like it is actually like taste it, savor it, and then share it, right? I've never known anybody who's like had the best thing I've ever had to eat and I will tell no one about it. You know, like you're like, oh my gosh, had this snack from Bucky's and it's the best thing that's ever been in my mouth. You know, like we will like just love anything. And then we got to tell somebody about it. This is the same concept of I needed the outfit and I went in the store and it was the first thing on sale. It's why it's the same like wiring in our brain that makes me go, someone go, I love your shoes. And I'm like, thank you. They were $12. Like we have to share the good that we experience, but we're only going to share it if we actually experience it. And I think we, a lot of times, goodness and kindness and fun from the Lord gets passed through our hands and we don't savor it. We don't hold anything long enough to savor it, to even acknowledge where it came from. We live with not open hands, but like hands that just like swat away, you know? And I remember a like sweet, sweet older woman in my like home group at like when I was at a church in Houston, Miss Edie and Mr. Billy, and they were the oldest people in our group. And they would just like let the group happen, you know? And then when they spoke, it was like every stop. Like Miss Edie is speaking, like we listen, or Mr. Billy, no, like everybody just freezes. And it's like, he's going to say something and we all need to hear it. And we were talking through something one time and I was like, you know, I just really want to like be open-handed with this. And she was like, that is like not the issue. Like the issue is that you are not willing to hold anything good. Like you are just like it, you are just like throwing everything out. You're afraid to have it. You're afraid that like, if you have it, you'll lose it. You're afraid that like, you don't deserve it. You're afraid that like the Lord wouldn't actually like be kind to you. Like he actually like he gives and he takes, but part of that is that he gives. Right. And so we need to, when he sits good before us, when he sits joy and delight and good food and laughter and sweet babies and beautiful weather and a great parking spot and the dress on sale that you needed. And these are little things that we can easily, and someone in here is sitting here going, she's like so full of it. And this is so annoying. And I like hate the thought of like thanking God for something like this, but like, why, like what is at risk by giving credit to the Lord for everything? Nothing. So if you were willing, if that's you, if you're the one who's like, please just stop, please just stop saying it, I would just ask you, like, please just try, like, just try it. Like, what do you have to lose by spending 10 days saying, if it's a good thing and I see it, I feel it, I taste it, I smell it, I hear it, it's from God. And it is something that he is showing me so that I can know something about him. And so that even if all at the end of that I know is that like, he like enjoys good things, like that is something that you may really need to know. And even in a season where you may be of just pain and aching and needing from the Lord, his presence is with us. And while the thing that we are like handing to him may be something that we have to long suffer through, it is not necessarily his intention that you only suffer long. While this thing is difficult, he also can be giving so many good things and he can be caring for you in so many like physically tangible ways. And if we're only willing to see and only willing to look at the thing that is hurting as we're going, we are missing the beauty of his presence being with us as we go. And so if we can turn our eyes to see the little and the small, he, I think, will show us that he's doing a lot more than we think that he is. In Psalm 16 talks about how our boundary lines fall in pleasant places, right? Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance that I look forward to a time, and also I live in a time where with the Lord are pleasures forevermore. And pleasures forevermore are not only eternal, heavenly, intangible things. Pleasures are things that you actually physically enjoy. They are good food. They are laughter. They are beautiful music. They are a like stunning sunset. They are a mediocre sunset, because even a mediocre sunset is like wild that it's like even happening. Like all of these things are pleasures that we experience as we move through God's world that we live in, and they are forever. And also that means that they're right now forevermore. The more is this way. Like it's the world that we're living in. It's the current moment that we're in. The other part of this that the so that we're moving to is that the so you may have fellowship with us. And fellowship is one of those words that's like, what is this? You know, I said earlier, I would rather as a kid have had my birthday in the fellowship hall than Chuck E. Cheese. So the word fellowship for a long time to me was equated with like potlucks. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know that why we need this with the Lord. We don't have potlucks with the Lord. But fellowship is the condition or relation of being a companion or peer. It's communion and intimacy. Fellowship is embodied evidence or participation in the group. Even so, Lexi in the middle of the room, Lexi's on staff with me at Paradox. She's one of our kids' ministry residents, and I drug her with me. I gave her lots of chances to not come with me today, but she's still here, and I'm very grateful. But I even told her this morning, I was like, it is so interesting to like look around. There is a Stonegate Women like vibe that is not the same as like the Paradox Women vibe. Like there's no like where work on. It's just there's different, because they're in different contexts. It's different people. It's different like style in some ways. Like it's just, I'm like, oh, I could separate these crowds of women just by like the nature of like, there are similarities over here. There are similarities over here. Or you think about like friend groups that you know of, like they sound similar. They use the same language. They like frequent the same places. They probably share like similar style, clothing, like vernacular, all of those things. We start to pick up and like look like and feel like and sound like whoever we are in fellowship with. And so part of this like seeing and touching and experiencing is that puts us, all of those sensory things require proximity, right? I cannot feel you from far away. I can't hear you from far away. I can't, well, depending on the smell, I can't necessarily smell you from far away. But you get what I'm saying. Senses require like up close and tangible. And so to be seeing and touching and hearing and experiencing God means that I am in fellowship with him, with people who know him, with the Spirit, with Christ. And now as I'm walking and I'm moving and I'm living, I am an embodied proof that I have been with the Lord. So much more believably, if I am enjoying doing that. You know, it is, the contrast is confusing when we say, yeah, I'm like, keep doing it. But like, I'm holding on to this fear, that cynicism, skepticism about the Lord, where he's saying like, can we just like open the hands and we just hold the goodness and we behold the Lord so that we can enjoy him. And now the proximity that we feel and the joy that then comes from that correlate in this like really beautiful way that is believable, not only to other people, but to us. We're like, yes, I feel and I sound and I like know that I have been with the Lord and actually enjoyed being there and let him show me that he is enjoyable. the last thing that I want you to do here, that's not true. One more thing I want to say about fellowship. I think a really beautiful example of fellowship in scripture is in 1 Chronicles 17. So David has met with the prophet Nathan, and he and Nathan have been through lots together. You know, Nathan was the guy who came to him and was like, let me tell you this story about this guy who takes something that doesn't belong to him and then like kills everybody because of it. Isn't that terrible? And David's like, that's awful. Like, that's the worst. And Nathan's like, that's you. Like, I'm talking about you, buddy. Like, this is you. But then Nathan is also the one who, to David, with his awareness of his sin and how much he doesn't deserve from the Lord, Nathan also is the one who tells him, here's all of this like amazing work that the Lord is going to do through you. This is the temple he's going to build through your children. This is the promise that he's going to fulfill to his people through your family line. And then he leaves that conversation and David clears everybody out from this like worshipful space in his home. He sends everybody out and closes the door. And the scripture says he sits with God and he says, who am I? And like, what is my family that you would do this with us? And that word sit is not, it's not sit as in like you go in the doctor's office and like try to sit really carefully without like tearing the paper, you know, like it's the most uncomfortable sitting anyone does ever. It's like you've got me like exposed skin on this like very fragile covering and I can't move, but I would love to. It's the worst. It's not that sitting. It's not sitting like sit down, you're in a meeting, I need to like tell you what you've done wrong. This word sit is like to dwell. This is your best friend's couch. This is like you come in and you are immediately comfortable. This is like shoes off, like grab the blanket, your favorite blanket. You're like immediately comfortable. It's like David goes in, sits down, and like while he is worshiping, it is not even like I need to like bow down. It's like I just get to sit and like exhale and like drop my shoulders and be with the Lord. Or it's Abraham who goes into there's language in Genesis that talks about like he would sit and like have breakfast with God, essentially. Or Moses who talked to God like he was talking to a friend. Like this is the kind of fellowship that is available to us when we seek the Lord and say like, this is how I want this to be. This is how I want this to go. And I just recently, like, again, in a redemption groups thing, Lexi was in the room for this. So she's probably like, wow, this was a very informative hour of my past week for this very moment. But one woman was talking about, like, I just feel far from God. And one of the leaders asked, like, what do you do when you want to, like, when you meet someone new? She was like, well, ask them questions. And I was like, what kind of questions? And she was like, I don't know, like, what you do for work. She was like, I can't, like, ask God, like, what do you do for work? And I was like, why not? Like, God works. Do you know what God does all day? And she was like, no. It's like, what if you asked him? Like, what if you said, like, God, like, what work are you doing? What do you do for work today? Or, like, what are, you know, if you feel in his presence, like he's disappointed, ask him, like, do you get disappointed? What is disappointing to you? Like, what brings you joy? What are you doing for fun in the world right now? Like, those are questions that I think when we think about asking God questions, those are not the ones we think of. At a, sociology professor in college that the first day of class we walked in and at the end of class, he said, you can ask me, I'll give you 5 minutes. Y'all can ask me anything you want, anything at all. There's no question I won't answer. And we asked questions. And when he was finished, he clicked to the next slide and it was a list of all the questions we'd asked. He was like, these are normal questions people ask. And it was verbatim everything we had just done. And he was like, this is just like normal human behavior. These are the questions you ask someone that you don't really know. And he was like, here are some examples of questions you didn't ask. And the next slide was like, what kind of underwear do you wear? Like, what was the last fight you got with your wife about? Like, it was very like personal, intricate, or even like just small detailed questions. And you, I think, we need to think about with the Lord getting more granular in the things that we ask him. Like, we have these like big, huge questions. Yes. And also, he wants to sit with you. He wants to sit and have breakfast with you. He wants to sit across from you like you're talking to a friend. He wants for you to come into his presence and sit down like you're on your best friend's couch. And that means asking the really like personal things. I talk to my best friend about things that if you and I have a conversation today, we're not going to get into. Not because we're not willing. We just like aren't, we don't have that kind of time together. We haven't like had the experiences. We haven't like, we don't have the context to like go to that place. And the Lord is saying like, I immediately give you the context. Let's just go. Like, let's just get in there. So that question that you had at that box at the beginning, of like, what is it like right now for you to be in God's presence? I want you to think before you leave this room, and this is the last thing we're doing, I'm going to like pray for you in a moment. And then when you're finished with your box, you can go or chat with a friend about it and move on to break. But I want you to think about what could being in God's presence look like? What do you want it to look like? I asked a friend of mine the same question, and he was like, you know, I think being in God's presence is like right outside the throne room, and there's like hammocks strung up between columns, and we're just like hanging in hammocks in like the sunshine and the breeze hanging out. And I was like, yeah, like that's so good. Like, there, change the location. What do you want it to feel like? What do you want it to be like? And then ask the Lord to help you like get there through enjoying him, through giving him more credit than you maybe have been willing to before, by being willing to like look around and say like, God, you are so good. You are doing so much. Where are you having fun? Because I want to know, and I want to like experience that and like have fun with you in the world and in my life and like enjoy being in your presence. So he wants that for you to say to him that you want it.